This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Ah, that it is, friends. It is the lightning round. Carlin, 800-919-ESPN. 800-919-3776. We are here until Knicks pregame. Knicks driving for 10 straight as they take on the Phoenix Suns, so they conveniently get on a nice little back-to-back situation. And my, what a win it would be tonight if the Knicks can get one against Phoenix. 800-919-3776 over the next half hour. Prior to Yankees' first pitch, we'll get into why the problems are not necessarily fixed just yet. And we will also spend time on these Knickerbockers, and I would encourage you to be involved quickly. I'm on Twitter, at Chris Carlin, on Instagram, That Guy Carlin as well. And, of course, you can watch the video stream at ESPN New York's Facebook page and 98.7 ESPN's Twitter handle. I never would have dreamed that we'd be sitting right here, right now, with the Knicks tied for the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference, with a two-game lead out of the sixth spot, and 11 games left to play. I said it last week that I felt like they needed to get to 40 wins to lock up that position in either the fourth or fifth spot to really give them a legitimate chance to make it into the second round of the NBA playoffs. And they keep raising the bar on us. They keep raising the bar. It's getting real, people. And as we said last week, you can, I don't want to say dream, I don't want to say expect too much, but you can certainly raise expectations because the Knicks have raised their own expectations. Their head coach has done that through a tremendous performance this season. And the MVP of the NBA has done that through a tremendous performance this season. I was on yesterday, and I am on board with this now. Julius Randle's the MVP of the NBA. If you have not heard me discuss why I believe in the term most valuable player in its truest form, briefly, here it is. I believe that the MVP should be the player who has been most valuable to his team's success in a particular season. You can obviously argue plenty of players. All of the betting parlors, if you will, led by FanDuel, believe that the Knicks are at best, or rather, Randall is at best, the ninth best option to win the MVP at plus 15,000. If you're unaware of what that means, it means that if you put down a dollar on Julius Randle today to win the MVP, you could win $150 if he actually did. I believe that the short-sightedness of many of the voters who, frankly, look for just the best overall player or the best player on the best team will not allow this to happen. All you have to do is look at the facts. Julius Randle has had a staggeringly good season, one that none of us could have ever seen coming, and he will certainly win the Most Improved Player award. But that's not good enough. When I look at what the Knicks would be without Julius Randle, the answer is nothing. Nothing. They have limited talent as it is. We have talked about that ad nauseum and how much they're doing with defense and how much they are really getting the job done across the board in every way. Offensively, they have gotten better. They are no longer a bad team offensively. They're a meh team offensively. And you know what? That's a major step forward. You look at what they've done in terms of shooting the basketball from downtown, they're fifth in the league in three-point field goal percentage. You know why? Julius Randle's a big part of that. A huge part of that. They, over the last 12 games, have averaged well over their season average of 106. They've been up at 118 during that stretch. They are scoring more than enough to win. They are making smart plays on the offensive end, and they are setting themselves up with better opportunities. And that's what puts them here in a position to win a round in the playoffs. I can't believe we're here. This discussion with Randall is going to continue to heat up as long as this team plays well. If the Knicks finish as the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference after what has gone on for the last 20 years, and they have virtually the same roster from a season ago, but they see a player like Julius Randle make the seismic jump that he has to a level of a star, it would be an abomination if he didn't win the MVP. Tonight, we will start with Jonathan in New Jersey. He is up first on 98.7 ESPN. Jonathan, what's up, big cat?
Hey, Chris. Love the show. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Just wanted to make a point, a little bit piggyback off what you were saying about making the argument for Randle for the MVP. I mean, your exact argument would the same, if not more, make the argument for Coach Thibodeau to be coach of the year.
I would agree with that.
Same team last year, everything the same. I would assume he had what to do with Randle being a better player. I mean, if he doesn't get it, I think that would be a little bit of an abomination.
I think right now that is close to a lock. I honestly believe that. And if it's not, it's just an ignorant part on the or an ignorant decision on the part of the voters. I can't argue with how great of a job Quinn Snyder has done, but we all know who the coach of the year is. And it's not close. It's not close anymore. All right, Jonathan, good talk. We'll see you out there. Here's Al in Queens. Big Al is up next, 98.7 ESPN. Al, what's up, baby?
How are you doing? I think that if they get the fourth seed, Randle should win the MVP. But if he's falls short of the fourth seed, I don't think he should get it.
Why?
Because the fourth seed means you're going to get home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs. And that's a big thing.
Well, this year it's not necessarily a big thing in particular. I mean, in a normal season it would be. And I know how well the Knicks have actually played at home this year. That's been incredibly impressive. But I would not say that it's the difference. I would not say fourth or fifth is the difference. Now, you want to argue if they're the sixth or the seventh or the eighth seed, yeah, then I would get that. But to me, if it's a fourth seed, he absolutely should be. And if it's a fifth seed, I definitely think he should be.
Okay.
All right. Good talk. Once again, follow-up comments, strong out the gate tonight. D in Brooklyn next, 98.7 ESPN. D, what's going on?
What's going on, Colin? Good night. What's up? How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Hanging in there. That's the top of the Knicks making the championship, going to the NBA Finals, and actually taking it. I believe in my heart they could do it. And I would like
let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Okay, see, here's the thing. I want to be positive. I don't want to get in your mug about this. I want to stay Mr. Positivity because I'm constantly knocked for being Mr. Negative, and you're dragging me down that road.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When did you notice that Golden State Warriors was a championship caliber team?
When did I notice? When they won their first championship. When they won their first championship, to tell you the truth.
Oh, so prior before that, you didn't think they could have done it, right?
It's not that I didn't think that they could have done it. I just didn't think that I didn't consider it. I thought they could do it. I just didn't know that they were ready to
do
it. Meanwhile, I look at the Knicks right now, and I know that they're not ready to win a championship. I know that. They don't have nearly enough talent, D, for that to be the case.
So you think these players are saying that to themselves?
Oh, no, absolutely not, and thanks to the call. No, I don't think they are. But let's be objective about it at the very least. Let's be objective that you can at least admit that they're not a championship caliber team. They're not as good as the top three teams in the East. And they wouldn't beat any of them in a postseason series at all. The only way they'd beat the Nets is if they only had one of their stars. If they had two, I think it'd be a good series, but I don't think that they could win that series. Absolutely not. How about Mike in Uniondale next, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Carla?
I'm great. What do you got for me, bud?
I got a question with this load management with the NBA. Why doesn't the NBA set it up like when people obviously order online for their tickets, hotel stay, and everything? Teams know who the rosters are going to be within, I guess, hours before the game. Why don't they set it up to where, like, you can have your money refunded if certain players are not going to be available?
It's just
some
never going
to
happen.
Some people spend up to $5,000 with hotel stay, paying for the tickets and travel just to see one player.
Yeah, I mean, that, I hate to put it this way. They're never going to refund
the day,
that
though,
money.
Their bottom line is being met by you even buying the
tickets.
Yeah,
but first of all, how many people are spending $5,000 to travel to a city to see one player once? That's rare to begin with. And they're not thinking
well,
like that. They're never going to refund that money. And I hate to put it this way, but it is, unfortunately, in today's NBA, a risk that you run if you decide to do that.
Well, let me ask you this. A family of four plane tickets, four hotel guests.
No, I understand,
you know,
all that, but how many people do that?
And you're right. The percentage is probably low, and then you got to pay for tickets.
It's not even low. It's non-existent. Thanks for the call, Mike. Sounds like a guy that bought four plane tickets to go watch LeBron play, and he wasn't playing, or not even LeBron, but you know somebody else. You know, he sounds like that guy, and I would be absolutely frustrated if that was something that I did. But I have to tell you, given the current state in the NBA, I would not do that because I would not trust it to not have the guy I want to see on the court. What I'm doing is I'm buying tickets to see that guy against my local team, and hopefully he plays. Hopefully. Greg in Piscataway is next on 98.7 ESPN. Greg, what's going on? How are you tonight?
Hey, Carl, what's up, big man?
How you doing?
Hey, I've been called a delusional Knicks fan on many occasions. I'm not ready to say that the Knicks are ready to compete for a championship. However, mm-hmm. I don't see how you give the MVP to anybody else except for Julius Randle. Knicks were projected to win 23 games. Like, that's crazy. Do you see the numbers that he's doing? Like,
yeah,
he has changed the culture of
I don't disagree. He should be. There are other candidates. We at least have to acknowledge other candidates. I mean, Golden State, in a much tougher Western Conference, is back in it because Steph has gone absolutely insane. He will be in that discussion. Jokic will be in that discussion. Joel Embiid will be in that discussion at the very top. And I have a feeling that Randall's going to come up well short. But it doesn't make it any more wrong that that would happen. Because when I look at what the Knicks are, they have been an outstanding, outstanding story in the league this year because of Tom Thibodeau and Julius Randle.
Yeah, but MVP is most valuable player. Steph Curry,
agreed.
He has a winning culture. He has a winning team. He has Draymond Green.
But who are the Warriors? The Warriors are a few games over 500. The Warriors are nowhere without Steph Curry this year, and you know that, Greg. Thanks for the call. They're nowhere. They're absolutely nowhere without Steph Curry. They're not even sniffing the playoffs. Steph Curry has done that with everybody paying attention to him and went on the ridiculous stretch that he went on recently, even though he is the only offensive weapon that they truly had to work with. I mean, that's absurd that that's the case. But it's true. It's absolutely true. Z-Beck in Piscataway. A lot of action in Piscataway tonight. Z-Beck, what's cooking? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Chris? Thanks for having me. I listen to you all the time on Rutgers radio. You do a great job. I wanted to chime in on this talk about the New York Knicks. Now, I'm not a Knicks fan, but you got to give respect where respect is due.
Yes, you do.
And I really feel your conversation with Randle being the MVP is right on point. Although he could probably win and most likely will win the most improved player. But what's to say that you can't win two awards during the same season?
No, listen, Z-Bec, I totally agree with that thought. I totally agree with that thought, and thanks for the call. I would have no problem with that being the case. I don't think it's going to happen, but it should. It absolutely should. And it's disappointing that it's disappointing that the voters are not going to look at it that way, are not going to truly define what it means to be an MVP, because they never do. That when they do it on occasion, it deserves the credit that they get. But the problem is it should be like that every year, and it's not. I mean, truly, if that was the case, LeBron should have about five more, if we're being honest about it. That's true. Here's a good one on Twitter. If Randle isn't the MVP, this is from Cash, by the way, the NBA will need to admit that RJ Barrett is a legit second threat or that Tibbs is the best coach in the league. They can't disrespect all three. Well, I don't know how they're disrespecting RJ Barrett. It's not like they're going to come out and say RJ Barrett is a legitimate second threat and that's some kind of award. Thibodeau is going to win coach of the year. I'd be stunned at this point if he didn't. And it would be a travesty at this point if he didn't. He's going to win coach of the year. And as for earlier, me getting on Michael, Don, and Peter about the no-hitter thing, Daniel Schreiber makes an excellent point. Sorry, half hour of your show doesn't count as a real show. Fair. Totally fair. Spike in St. Pete. Spike, what's going on? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Couple of quick things. No one's mentioned this. Leon Rose, executive of the year. I think that's hands down. But I don't care about awards. Tonight's a big, big move. And Dean Chance once pitched five perfect innings and the game got rained out in the 60s. I don't know if they gave him credit for a perfect game. I don't care about all that stuff. It's just sports talk conversation. Big game tonight. Tired legs from Phoenix. All their key players put in big minutes. Brooklyn looks invincible. Kevin Durant is the smoothest, easiest scoring player I've ever seen in my life. He is unbelievable. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, listen. Durant is staggeringly good. Oh, my God. You just show up last night and you do what he did. I mean, you forget sometimes when he doesn't play a whole lot just how good he is. That's why I do believe that they can compete for a championship with two of them. I would have thought that they could have won a championship if they still had Jared Allen and Caris LeVert and had not made the trade. Of course, they can win one with Harden, too. They're just not nearly as good of a defensive team with Harden. Marco in California is next, 98.7 ESPN. Marco!
Hey, big fella, how you doing?
I'm good, Marco. What's up?
Hey, I want to talk about Madison Bumgarner and why this year allowed his no-hitter from yesterday.
Okay.
Basically, the example I have is last year we had a 60 game season, right? Mm-hmm. So why should we count the MVPs, the Cy Youngs, player, all that as legitimate awards if it was a full 162?
Because everybody was in the same boat there last year, you know. And I listen. Yeah, I love the fact that DJ LeMahieu won a batting title last year in 60 games? I don't. I don't want to weigh that the same as everybody else who's won that award. Same thing with the MVP. You make a fair point on that, but you know, across the league, it is a completely level playing ground. Thanks for the call. But let's just say yesterday you had another guy who had a 9-inning game and came up 2 outs short. And he went 8 1/3. What would you say to that guy? But he he got it. If you had only been playing in a doubleheader, you would have had a no-hitter. The 2021 NFL Draft is Thursday, 98.7, celebrating the return of football with the Draft Challenge. Correctly predict the results of the first 11 picks. You can win the jersey of your favorite team's first pick. To enter, text DRAFT to 44202, followed by your picks listed 1 through 11. We'll assign a point for every correct pick and 2 points for a correct Jets pick. If you think there's going to be a trade, just use the word trade for that pick. Again, text DRAFT to 44202, followed by your picks 1 through 11. It's all from your home for the NFL Draft, 98.7 ESPN. I will be back tomorrow with my good friend Bart filling in for Allen, who will be filling in for KJ and Z. Hey, Matt Harvey pitching for the Orioles tonight against the Yankees. Carlin out. Stay hands.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.